This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgareth.
Hi, Karen. How are you?
Good. Chris, how are you today? Are you going to come out with an anecdote right off the jump?
I mean, it's been kind of presumptuous of me to always leap in with my anecdote.
I feel your life...
Do you have one?
No. Your life is incredibly rich, so...
Well, thank you.
You got to do it.
I mean, sometimes it's a stretch coming up with these things, but today it's worth talking about. I was legitimately bullied at the gymnasium. I went there to swim, and right away there's three ladies. I've seen them there before. They're in their mid-60s, but they snicker. First of all, they make fun of me because I wear a snorkel and flippers and I have my webbed swimming gloves.
Because you're asking to be made fun of. That's why
I guess so. But hey, I didn't ever learn to swim as a kid. And these items help me swim comfortably because I never learned to breathe while swimming. No, I wish I could have a discussion with these ladies before. What, you know, they're not even swimming. Okay. They're using the hot tub. And then it's gross because they just get into the pool to cool off. So they're sweaty and they have hot tub water on them. I don't know if that's chlorinated. And then
they swam right over to you and circled up?
They just stay at the end of the lane. And so I'm literally dramatically weaving through them and they aren't moving. And then one of them shoulder checks me. And I think it was on purpose. And I know last time I was there, I saw them actually actively pointing and laughing at me because, again, I have a snorkel that's and a swim cap. And
3 feet high.
Yeah, it goes straight up the middle. It's a freestyle snorkel. That's what it's made for.
So it's like kind of like a periscope, like you're a human submarine.
Yes, except Michael Phelps's signature is on it. Like other people use these things, you know, and these
like
ladies.
Like Michael Phelps.
God, they're mean. And I don't know.
Do you think they're flirting with you? Could that be what it is?
Flirting, they're saying it silently to themselves and pointing and laughing and trying to hide their laughs. It's not a flirt. It's just mean high school behavior. And they should know better. Again, they're in their mid-60s.
Are you going to be able to do a comedy podcast after something like that?
I don't know. I'm trying to snap out of it. Then, and I don't mean to be graphic, but then in the locker room, a very strange, larger than me man was, I'm not kidding, bending over and spreading his butt and looking. I asked him if he had been injured. He was looking at his butthole in the mirror. He was looking at his butthole, but he was also smiling while doing it and looking over at me like, hey, what do you think of this? Maybe that guy was flirting. I don't know. I thought he had injured his butt. Maybe he fell on something. A piece.
If even if he had, that's not the place to check the injury.
He was being real weird. Real weird with this butthole check. Anyway, you know,
Was there anyone else in the locker room with you?
It was pretty busy. And everyone like me was just wishing and pretending it wasn't happening, actively, again, leaning forward, bringing his head down by his ankles and spreading. And he was looking in the mirror at his BH. Come on, man. I mean, I'm not made that uncomfortable, but it seemed aggressive. And he was kind of aimed towards me.
It was almost like an improv where it started aggressive with the ladies in your lane, and then it agreed and it heightened into someone checking their own anus.
Yeah, and I yes-anded both groups.
Yeah, you were forced to yes-and.
Yeah, you got to stick with the scene. You can't just go off and do your own character. That's why I started stand-up. Well, I'll tell
you. Should we take a deep breath?
Yeah.
So we can.
I'm sorry, I got upset.
It's okay.
I got upset again.
I would not have made fun of you if I'd known you were this upset. And you're right to be.
She shoulder checked me.
You're right to be.
All right. Never mind.
All right.
I'm very excited about our guests today.
Are you? Let's see it in your face and in your posture. There it is.
I've been very aware of my posture. Thank you for reminding me. I'm going to be upright. I better even adjust the mic okay, this is how I'm going to be the whole time.
Yeah.
Both these Johns, I remember when I first came to town, and one of the Johns was always so nice to me. And the other John, when he came to, these are both nice guys that are funny guys and they're friendly guys. And they have a brand new podcast called Two Johns Don't Make a Right, which we're going to talk about.
They play clubs and colleges all over the country.
They both do so many colleges. They make a small living doing colleges on the side of being EPs of major TV shows. Everyone, put your hands together for John Daly and John Schrader.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
I tell people to clap.
Hi,
hey, guys.
How
are you?
We're great. How are you?
I'm great.
John Daly was only doing hand gestures.
I know.
The perfect opener for a podcast.
I was just raised not to clap for myself.
Right.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, cockiness.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was told not to ever get a big head.
I was raised by improv comedy to clap for myself.
Oh.
You know how you go out and you just like, we're already good.
Big energy.
Yeah,
it's all energy.
Do this.
Yeah.
It gets everyone's in the audience, gets their brain firing to come up with a non-geographical location and also an occupation for the group to riff off of.
What if the occupation that you suggested was self-clapper?
Well, oh, man.
You'd be in business. Everybody would be like, ha, all right, you win. You're in the group.
She won.
You're in the group.
You made it.
You made it.
That's why improv groups are always growing. Just new members. You can't say no to anyone.
If you blow everyone's mind, you're in. You're in.
With an idea like that. You guys, when did you start this podcast? Two Johns Don't Make a Right. Is it fake?
No, it's real.
It's real.
Is it?
It's real. Two Johns Don't Make a Right.
I mean, it's fake in a way.
Yeah, I mean,
like it was a dumb joke at a party. Something I would refer to as bottle talk. That then John Daly had some follow through with, and I said, okay, why not?
So the name did come first.
Yeah.
Oh yes, it's a premise based podcast.
We were being idiots and just going, we should do the thing. Two Johns Don't Make a Right, where we drive around L.A. making lefts. We never turn right or the podcast is over. And so then we did it. And it's really fun. Yeah.
So technically you can just go around one city block the entire podcast.
Sure.
Just turning right. Just turning left. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we've done that.
Technically we could.
But we like to explore and take note of film locations, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have a driving podcast as well.
Yeah, you can pretend to just know about it now.
I
think I speak for Karen too, where I am not at all threatened by you guys having another comedy driving podcast.
Well, that's what I thought this was. I thought this was an intervention or a confrontation.
A showdown?
Yeah.
We weren't even sure who did it first, us or this guy Jerry Seinfeld, but it turns out he did it before us. And so we don't have a leg to stand on. If the sign man.
Well, yeah, but like they get coffee. We don't do that.
Right.
You?
No.
Yeah, like
none
ours
of us.
Ours is way different. I think you're discounting how different ours is.
Yeah. Right.
We don't even make right turns. Like, that's insane. And
right. And we occasionally do.
Yeah. And Jerry Seinfeld's talking about both coffee and what's hidden in there is cars.
Cars. Yeah. It's very specific about cars.
Yeah. Entirely.
He's basically, and then Leno's took away the coffee and Leno's just doing cars.
Right.
My garage.
Leno's I forgot about Leno's.
He replaced the coffee with chambray.
Is chambray another?
The only people that get that joke have worked at the Gap. That was kind
is
of
it,
just for
is mine. Is it a type of denim?
It's the chambray shirt. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
It's the jean shirts that he wears.
Oh, it took me a second. I worked at Banana Republic, so I remember the term.
Well, Jay's got a denim car now. I don't know if you've seen that.
Denim exterior?
That would be.
No, that was a Funny or Die sketch. And my friend Alex Scordelis was pitching. It was like an all-day pitch in Jay Leno's actual garage. All the Funny or Die writers went there and they set up a table in this garage. And every single pitch, it was like a four-hour thing. He was like, yeah, let's get it. Let's get it. Keep them coming. Keep the ideas coming. But nobody was hitting. And then my friend Alex went, it was like, 4 p.m. and he was ready to go. It was like, he goes, denim car? And Jay Leno's just like, yeah, let's do it. Denim car. And it just seemed like he didn't want to do it after a while. But then Alex was like, denim car. And he was like, oh, no, let's fully commit. And, Mike Farah made a full denim car. So he actually does have one.
This is something we can actually see if we looked it up on Funny or Die?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, denim car.
That's hilarious. Yeah. I fucking love that.
I love that Jay Leno did that.
Yes.
I love that Jay Leno saw like Jerry Seinfeld's show and was just like, nah, I'll do that.
Yeah. Well, look, the bottom line, there's room for all of us.
There really
That's
is.
Right.
There's a lot of roads in Los Angeles.
We need so much content.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not enough. It just gets burned up. So.
And also, can Karen and I claim ownership over something we haven't done for over 2 years?
You can.
Oh, so you guys, this is kind of you're starting it anew. I thought we would be in a car, by the way. I thought that would be.
I know.
Like, well, you
but
know.
It's okay, you know.
I mean, it's now that suddenly COVID is over because a war has begun.
Right.
There's a very good chance we'll be in the car soon.
Yeah.
But we're just trying to plan it out so that,
Yeah, we have to wait till everyone's fully distracted.
It does feel over.
And then
we
get
in
the car.
Get some tests and, get it going.
We'll figure it out soon. It's going to be great. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
But what I said in the beginning, John, Tall, do you mind if I call you Tall? You were always Tall John to me, though.
I still am,
I wonder if that, if you ever
it's
got
a good
sick
differentiation,
of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, regular sized and Tall John.
Yeah, I'm regular sized, yeah.
I've never been upset by it. It was a nickname given to me working at the Warehouse Records in 1989 when there was like three Johns and they all needed a pronoun or a adjective.
Mm-hmm.
What's the word? I'm a writer.
What were the other Johns?
Well, there was Fiddler. John Fiddler, so he was just Fiddler. And then I think the other John was just this older guy who just got to be John because he was there before us.
Oh, yeah.
So
grandfather.
Then there was Fiddler and Tall John
Tall John, and Fiddler, bro.
Fiddler!
He was the oddball, man.
Yeah. He's always on the roof.
He works in the jazz section.
But yeah, when I first moved to LA and I would go, M-Bar had a lot of the cool shows that I wanted to get on and I would pay to just watch to build up the courage to ask Scott and BJ if I could go up. And you, John, were always very nice to me.
That's Tall John.
That's and no.
And so, yeah, you started the whole podcast with this and then you went, Tall John, you were always nice. John, you were always, let's get started. I thought you stopped.
No,
if you rewind, that's really what
happened.
That's
passive aggression. Now that's left over from what happened to him at the gym. And we have to have a lot of empathy for his daily experience.
Shoulder
checked slowly it's going to trickle out during this podcast.
Speaking of the gym, it occurred to me that perhaps the gentleman spreading his bottom saw that you had the snorkel, the periscope snorkel, and thought maybe you could just get in there and look around.
Oh, he wanted a free medical check of some kind.
Mm.
Fun medical check, like Rodney Dangerfield in Back to School. Like, hey, hey,
hey,
I'm swimming down here.
Bowl of soup.
But Chris, you say I was always nice to you. I'd like to think I still would be if I ever saw you in person again.
You never went away.
You've changed.
You've kept up this charade.
How about me?
You came to town. What did you move here in 05, 06?
I moved here in 08.
What about 08 then?
08.
Yeah.
Yep.
You were,
I was nice, right? Come on.
Yeah, you were nice.
Yeah, Chris.
Yeah, you were nice
just
to
like
me.
Running in place with this. Do you have a problem with John Daly? You might as well say
yeah, what's going on?
Absolutely do not. By that time, I had already solidified myself in the scene somewhat, and I was no longer petrified of other comedians.
Right.
I think that's why Tall John was mean to me. He was just hanging out. He's a writer. He was not doing stand-up, and he wasn't being intimidating or like, hey, you're not a cool kid yet.
Well, you were. You were a skateboarder.
I mean, I was cool outside of comedy, sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm never going to debate that. But within comedy...
John's the guy at the status-y booth at the, you know, he's in the booth with the status people.
Yeah.
He's at he gets bottle service every time he goes to a comedy show.
Largo. But he doesn't play the status moment, you know.
No.
You come over, he's like, "What's up? Yeah, I'm at the status table, no big deal, but I'm the guy that doesn't give a fuck."
And
I'm a power broker, but I don't have to shove it in your face. Good luck with your 7-minute set.
Exactly.
That's
And whether or not you tank or not, I'm going to say great job.
Great job, man. Yeah.
You did always tell me great job.
Now that I think about it. Wait, John Daly, do you remember? I remember when I first met you. Do you remember it?
Wait, when did we first meet?
Well, but I remember meeting you, and it was when I went back to comedy after leaving comedy for like 5 years, went back and became a guitar act. And I was absolutely mortified. Talk about like... Exactly what Chris is talking about.
So I remember you doing those shows, yes. Okay. I don't remember exactly when we met, though.
Do you remember the show at the Gower Gulch? There was the show that was started long ago by Melinda Hill and I think Maria or...
Right.
Tiger
several
Lily.
Several people.
Maria.
Tiger Lily, and it got
Natasha.
Passed on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was the girl who booked it with her and she would be there with her mom?
Jazz.
Okay. So I got booked on that show, and I'm mortified to be a guitar comic. And I know I'm too old to be doing, like, I was just like, what am I fucking doing? This is totally insane. So I show up at Tiger Lily, and it's that kind of nervousness where you're just kind of weirdly, like, blind. Like, I kind of couldn't see outside of a small circle right in front of me. And you were one of the first people I saw, and you were super nice. And you were like, hey, what's up? And I'm like, hey, I'm Karen. I'm on the show. And you're like, yeah, cool. And we started talking a little bit. And then I go, are you Jazz? And you literally were like, no. And then, like, turned around.
You thought I was Jazz?
I had no idea who booked me.
Oh, my God.
I'd never met anybody. It was like, this was to be, I was like 3 generations out from my, like, class of comics. Like,
that's, whoa.
Blaine was probably hosting, but other than that, I knew no one.
Well, I was pretending not to know who you were because I knew who you were. But so that's something that will come out in EMDR sessions with deep healing. That's buried way back in the cerebral cortex.
I just didn't know what I was doing. And
no,
then
I know, yeah.
And
that show was like open plan.
Yes.
It was like everyone's everywhere.
There's nothing that makes me more nervous than at a comedy show when there's white tablecloths and wine glasses on the table. I'm like, this is going to be fucking horrible.
People are eating like steak Diane right in front of you. It's like major meals.
It's not. People are going to have a heavy French sauce and then watch my dumb shit. Like, I have to get out of here. What am I doing? So sorry about that. I know who you are now.
No problem. Hi.
Yeah, it's hard to know when Jazz is just in an email. You don't know. Jazz could be anyone, really.
And I just had that
Jazz
thing of
could
like,
be anyone. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's a genderless
Jazz
name.
Could be anyone. And I just wanted the first person I talked to be the person I was supposed to be talking to help me.
Yeah.
That's all I could manage.
What if I was like, yeah, mama, my name. Jazz.
Yeah, daddy-o. I'm Jazz.
Skibbity-bop-bop and zee-bip-bop. You're booked.
So embarrassing.
The white tablecloths and wine glasses could describe a few places, like Largo and Embar both at one point.
Yeah.
And that's everywhere you performed, Karen.
And the like underground place. What is that? El Cid, too.
Yeah.
El Cid. Also, the old Luna Park.
Yeah.
Like, it's that thing of when people are investing in like a night of comedy.
Right.
It makes me be like, this matters too much, or this is too costing too much money. I'm not gonna deliver what they want.
Yeah, when it's a full sit down meal, it's not, you know, you go on the road and at a comedy club, of course they have nachos and everything. It's not the same as a plate of spaghetti with a white tablecloth.
Yeah.
Something about that makes it feel like I'm interrupting your meal.
Yeah.
It's like a large water glass next to a cloth napkin. And then also when there's seats, like tables empty, but fully set, where I'm just like, no good can come of this night. People are going to get their feelings hurt.
The food's never good.
Right.
And whenever there's a silence, you just hear forks clanking on plates.
It's like a strip club must be when you eat at a strip club.
Yeah.
People eat at strip clubs?
Yeah. I just drove across America and half the strip clubs we drove past, it was like, you know, steak dinner or breakfast too. Like, you know, sunny side up eggs.
Yeah. Are you talking specifically like when I moved to Austin, Texas, every ad was like, come at noon, bring your kids. It's Hamburger Wednesday.
No.
And there was meal deals. We have prime rib. And again, bring your kids.
Open at 7 a.m. or whatever.
And wink, wink, there's still fully nude ladies. It's how many things do you have to tap into?
It's also like this weird thing of like they can't serve alcohol. So some places are just like, let's serve like disgusting food so guys can get horny, I guess, and with their friends.
Fill up.
With their friends and then eat.
And just put a gravy covered dollar in your underwear. Oh, there shouldn't be food.
They can just stick it to your leg.
There's even in Portland a vegan strip club that was kind of famous, right?
I went there one time. Yeah. That was like the thing to do, like 2012. If you were in Portland, everyone was like, let's go to this vegan strip club.
Was it Lumberjack somebody's?
Casa Diablo, right?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And we should all, I'm not going to, you know, it's not like I go to those places. You all know that about me. But at Bridgetown, it was like one of the events, hey, we're all going to the strip club today.
Exactly.
And I'm like, really? As a group? And it's kind of fun to just go with a bunch of boys and girls that are comedians to a strip club together.
It's also relatively like cool vibe of a strip club.
Yeah.
Like, there's nobody there that's like weirdly drunkenly, like there's always a guy that's like thinks he's in love or something or is just like so deeply sad. You see so many. But
wasn't the Casa Diablo the one where it's like the strippers are co-owners and it was all like kind of empowerment and like we decide how much you like it or whatever.
That's how it feels.
We tip you.
We were at the arcade and then people are like, we're gonna go over to the strip club. And I was like, I think that'll bum me out. Cause I remember one time getting roped into going to Jumbo's Clown Room and just being like, I don't want to do this. This makes me feel bad. And everybody at the arcade that day was like, no, they love it. It's like their thing or whatever. Where I was just like, oh, it's the Portland version of a strip club.
It's empowerment strip. Yeah, it was cool. Yeah. It's better. I'll say that. It's better. It doesn't feel I don't know. Like, I don't really go to strip clubs, but I went to one in Vegas, like a huge one. It was called Sapphire. And I went there with like 8 guys and we all got lap dances and I was just like, now I'm horny. What do I do now? No. And like I'm just like, I'm horny with my buddies.
Yeah.
weird.
It's a weird. Hey,
like,
guys.
Hey, you horny? Yeah. I got a boner, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
Oh, and I'm watching you get it right now.
Yeah. Cool. Hey, look at Dave. He's horny, man.
I wonder what it would look like if I was watching my friend and that girl actually have sex.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah.
Anyway, have a great marriage.
Yeah. It's your last night before your marriage. So can I ask you guys a question? Because we're trying to steal as much from you as we can.
Sure, of course.
That's steal your whole idea. So what are kind of games that you guys play when you're driving around? Or whatever kind of comes up.
My favorite game is when Chris tried to be the sound guy, even though he didn't know how to work a Zoom, and then would always be scared / furious because he thought he lost the episode every time.
Because I did a couple times, and it never will be known. That first TIG, that lost TIG episode, I will never know why it happened.
We had an Emmy Award-winning TIG episode where she told us about her wedding, and it was hilarious
all
and great. It was truly like we cried at one point.
And then
Chris goes, it's gone.
It just sounded like frying bacon.
Wow.
So yeah, having the, I mean, we didn't play games. It's mostly like, it's, you'll discover that as you drive, things are passing, people walk, pedestrians, it gives you something to talk about.
Right.
And describe. And it turns out we discovered people love hearing that. It seems weird to talk about something that no one is seeing.
Right.
But if you describe it and legitimately are earnestly reacting to things, people love it. And that's something you'll discover. And Ooh. Something I miss about us driving. Because yeah, now it feels like we should be playing a game.
We'll have you on ours and we'll drive. Yeah. We'll pick you up.
Yes. I just got a Toyota Sienna minivan, so there's plenty of space.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does that have a fourth row, the Sienna?
Just a third row, but that's all I need.
Yeah. Is this the first time, Karen, we've had two guests?
I think so.
Because there was another botched episode where we did have two, but we just decided not. Well, there is a bunch of reasons not to.
You could say this episode is a full car. We got
it really
two
is.
Guests.
This is a carpool episode with everybody.
Yeah, we used to pretend. I used to make traffic noises, a lot of Foley work, and then we quit pretending.
Oh, yeah.
It is also, wow. It does make a big difference, though, when you have a moving surrounding world, because it then spurs on the conversation, whereas since basically COVID started, we're just like, we can do this.
Yeah.
We can keep talking anyway.
But yeah.
I didn't realize how much complaining about traffic and people. Like there was a guy one time that was like, we were talking and I was driving slowly because I think there was someone we were waiting to pick up. And this guy got furious that either he had to wait for me to drive by or something was happening where we had a highly aggressive pedestrian. It was really, and then we were trying to take pictures of him and stuff. It's just like things that in the real world can be very exciting.
Yeah, we had a guy chase us on a bike wielding his U-lock and he tried to knock off Karen's mirror. We've witnessed multiple fist fights at bus stops.
We saw a guy get dropped at a bus stop.
Yeah, knocked out to where he was knocked out and limply hit his head. Like that's how people get in big trouble with their brains.
We saw a guy that was at a bus stop kiosk in Koreatown facing the wall of the key, the mesh, kind of metal mesh wall.
Was he showing his butthole?
No, he was just facing the wall and standing there. It was so insane. Oh, he was just he was there for a full minute at least, just standing there.
Yeah, we were at a red light and he was just not facing, so he couldn't see if the bus was coming.
Yeah.
And it was staring 4 inches away from a wall.
Yeah. Yeah. Insane behavior is, but not dangerous. That's not good.
Yeah. Well, so that is the game you end up playing is a version of I Spy without all the annoying guessing. If you just talk about what you're saying and need to play.
Our thing is we don't turn right. So we usually the conversations kind of go into oh my God, I think we're going to have to turn right. No, turn left here. No. Oh, okay. We got a full thing. And then kind of the negotiation of look, if we need to exit a highway, we can't, we can't call that a right. That's just.
Yeah, there's merging. You could merge. Right.
Yeah.
It sounds like the whole thesis of your podcast is a game in and of itself.
Yeah.
It kind of is,
but we need to chop it up with a little bit of variety, I think.
Some segments.
Some segments, yeah. All right, let's play. Like Doug Benson does he just does the Leonard Maltin game, and it's love it. That's what we should do. The license plate game or something.
Yeah, we could do that.
I was going to say, there was a great game, but you can't do it on podcast because you can never clear music. But my favorite car game, maybe this will be a way we can find you a game. I'll start with this one, which you can't use. It was called Radio Wars, and it was essentially turn the radio on and then hit scan. And then when it stopped and started playing a song, whoever said the name of the song, the fastest. And it couldn't be the band. It had to be the name of the song. And then it was whoever got it, and then it would scan again. So it was a fast kind of keep you on your toes game in the car.
All right, let me write this down.
You know who's insanely good at that game? I worked for him for a while in the aughts is Jimmy Kimmel, because he used to be a DJ.
Oh, right.
He can hear literally a note of a song, and it's Tainted Love, and it is. It was insane.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was like a savant-like power.
Yeah.
You know who else can do that is Jimmy Pardo.
Oh, ooh, yeah.
Both Jimmys.
I played, the Jimmys know how.
Yeah.
Maybe they should have a podcast.
Ooh.
Yeah. Two Jimmys, don't turn left.
Less of a ring.
Done
to
and
it.
Done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kimmel was a DJ in like Arizona, right?
All over the place. Seattle. He just kept getting fired everywhere he went.
Why?
Because, you know, he's funny and they don't always like that and they like to do his own thing.
He was like Howard Stern in Private Parts.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Kept getting fired from like local affiliates.
Just disrespectful. Yeah.
And it's also a shitty business.
And then the fans stood up and said, no.
We decide.
Yeah.
Now, guys, do you like Howard Stern's short haircut? Because I think the shape is wrong. I think it's too grammar school principal.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him in a while. Is it still kind of like a bucket?
It's almost like a short shag, but with the way his hair goes every time there's an article about him, because he's now speaking out against many things,
right?
Mm-hmm.
But it always is like, is that I'm not gonna be able to remember her name. It always just looks like an actress from the 80s that has a perm,
right?
Ally Sheedy,
yeah. And I was gonna say his long hair looked like a metal guy from the 80s, so he had like 80s metal hair.
So you're describing the haircut that I wanted to get, but I just couldn't figure it out.
And also, as a bald guy, like, I would kill for any hair. Like, I'd have a mullet if I could.
I never noticed.
I actually don't think of you as bald. That's
yeah,
funny.
At all.
No, not at all.
Well, just compared to what I, you know, pretty bald.
I guess you are, but
you know why? T's too tall. We don't even get to address that part of John.
That's right. But Karen, you remember back in the 90s, I had a beautiful head of hair.
Oh, God. It was just like all over. Every barbecue, it would get into your potato salad and stuff.
I'm really glad you don't have that hair anymore. It was always in my mouth.
It was a mess.
So, Karen, I don't know how much you knew John, but like what's coming out on the podcast, knew Tall John, but what's coming out on the podcast is that like back in the day when you guys like first moved here, he was like a big prankster and was like, I'll do anything. Like his rep was kind of like, I'm the guy that does anything. Like, so that's what he's playing up. I just want to know if there's truth to that, if he was seen as that.
I definitely remember that he was truly full of beans.
Well, yeah.
But here's the problem.
Still is that.
I was like a blackout drunk. So all I know is if John was around, I was having a good time. Yeah. Other than that, there's not a lot of details in my party memory.
And I'll say this, cool. When I was hanging around Largo, around Karen and all these other funny people, I was not pranking them. I was just trying to blend in.
No. I mean, but the thing with the fireworks, like throwing the fireworks, I was like, Jesus.
Wait,
like,
what?
You were legitimately destructive.
Where was that?
What was the firework?
Steve Agee brought it up. They're not true fireworks. They're called Sprite bombs, and you can see them online. They're remember Snap Caps, those little white things? They're like that, maybe times three. And they look like little cannonballs, and they're just like little gunpowder balls. And you can pop them, and they're a little bit louder, and they make a little spark.
Wow.
And I really enjoyed keeping them in my car and throwing them primarily at male joggers and watching them jump. So it wasn't so much pointed at a single person as it was a group of people. How dare someone try to better themselves physically?
Shame them. Scare them.
Jogging was out.
Yes. I felt like it was harmless. And I stopped after a while. Steve pointed out I kept so many. You're supposed to keep them separate from one another. When they rub up on each other, they all blow up. And that happened. They were in my cup holder in my car. And I did that. And I screamed. And Steve laughed and told that story on our podcast.
True.
And joggers in the distance clapped.
Yes, finally. Hoisted by his own petard. Now, can you remember ever doing that at Laura Milligan's house? In her back patio area?
I don't remember doing that there. But it could have been. I went to a couple of those parties.
John, do you remember when, I think it was Jay Johnston, the insurrectionist Jay Johnston, started bringing the brooms to all the parties and we play broom where we'd... Do you remember that?
I do remember broom. God, I forgot all about it.
Broom?
So the base of the broom, right, where you actually sweep, you hold that to your chest, and then you look up at the top. So at that point, it's going up, say, 5 feet above you, and you have to hold it and stare at the top of the broom, and then two people spin you around, and you have to spin around, 20 times
it was, yes.
or whatever? And then there's a circle of people around you. And when you're done spinning around 20 times, you throw the broom in front of you and you have to jump over it. but by the time you've spun 20 times, and most people are drunk or high, you're so dizzy that you throw it down and immediately fall over. And it is the funniest fucking thing you've ever seen in your life. And it's even funnier when people are a little buzzed because they think they can do it and it's no big deal. And then when they go to do it, they just fucking eat it. Like, just, you have to be on grass or on a soft part of the backyard because people just go right down, in their face. It's the funniest.
That sounds like a fun game you guys can play while podcasting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, broom.
Yeah.
Broom it.
You're in a
car
van.
Broom.
You're in a tall van.
It's true.
That is I had forgotten all about that. And yeah, that was such a fun house for them to entertain us with their parties. They had that projector back there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you still keep in touch with them?
I haven't. They moved up to San Francisco.
Right.
I haven't talked to Laura in a really long time, but my sister keeps track of everybody on Facebook for me.
I used to.
But I haven't actually talked to Laura in a really long time.
Yeah, I used to live around the corner from that house. We were neighbors for about 3 months, and then they thought better of it and moved to San Francisco.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were terrific. And yeah, brooms, God. So fun.
Broom.
Broom.
I'm someone that if I spin at all, on a tire swing even, I will vomit. I can't go on the teacup rides, little kid rides even.
Same here.
So yeah. That game's not for me. I would vomit in front of everyone.
Yeah, because you get really dizzy.
I do get dizzy. I'm one of the dizzier guys.
What about vertigo?
Do you get vertigo?
I've had it. I had it. That's Steve Agee and I talked about that. We had it at the same time once. I think his was more serious. But we had deep, deep vertigo talks. I just got it. Some gift from God. I had a year. I couldn't skateboard. I would fall over. I was just off balance. And then
for a whole year,
I went to a doctor. Yeah.
Wow.
And then he said it eventually will go away. And I just waited. And gradually I noticed I didn't have it anymore, but it lasted a long time. And there was no reason I had it. I had done no spinning.
There was no trigger for it.
No,
there was just, no, yeah. Just happened.
Yeah. Wow. Here
that's
you go.
Scary.
Deal with this for a year. That's
God.
Me doing Jesus's voice.
Yeah. And during that year, you don't know if it's ever going to stop.
Yeah. So it's always kind of looming over you while you try and focus on your fledgling career or relationships.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
No.
It's just makes it's one of the colorful pageant layers of life or whatever people say.
Sure.
Now, back to your podcast. Do you guys have guests? Have you, in referencing Steve Agee, was he on your podcast?
He was.
He was our first guest. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then
we did two with just us that I think Daly is going to sit on forever.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they'll be ephemera for the future. Who knows?
Nice. Yeah. Special eps.
Yeah. But
I think it's okay to sit on them. And as our audience got to know us, we found they got excited when it was just us.
Interesting.
Right.
Because they're going to like you.
Right.
Yeah. We have some good guests lined up. We have you guys. We have Kulop. Mm-hmm.
Nice. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yep. John Hamm. John's going to go out to John Hamm. Right, John?
I mean,
oh,
I imply
wow.
I would.
Three Johns.
Yeah, three Johns. And then I think we can make a right at
yeah,
that point.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's three Johns, we can turn whatever
can right.
we want. That's
yeah.
great.
That's yeah. special episode. You should do only rights. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever's clever. You know, that's the beauty. It's like, take this left, take this right. We're free. Three Johns.
So
three Johns.
It's
that's
almost dangerous, though, because if you're at an unprotected intersection, much like when Waze, the app, used to try and kill us. Oh, you can make it. It's 5 o'clock and it's,
and it's Laurel
Olympic
Canyon.
Boulevard.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you have to do the left. Otherwise, you're breaking the rules of your podcast. I just don't want to see you guys get hurt because of a silly rule.
Well, sometimes the podcast will be, 15 minutes if we get stuck.
Right.
Especially going downtown, there's lots of one-way streets.
Yeah. It's almost happened a few times, but we've kind of pulled it out and that's a good moment in the podcast when we're like, yeah.
It's touch and go. Yeah.
And the audience is like, what?
It's real drama.
We do talk about things and it is funny. But there is maybe we should cut out a little bit more. Hey, what about this? Okay. No, I don't think you can go here. Yeah.
That's really all I add.
No, people love that.
We don't edit at all. We would leave in our go through Starbucks drive-throughs, leave our order in.
Yeah.
You don't have to. Yeah. Let people
Who
enjoy
cares?
The ride.
It's a hang.
Yeah.
Also, I don't want to bum anyone out, but there is an unhoused crisis happening.
Yes,
so
there is.
Yes.
I think we actually had to make an effort to not talk about it. And we should give money to some organization via the podcast because it is the main thing that we see that's notable.
Yeah.
And then we kind of like skip over it kind of mentally, I feel like, but there is it's like, oh, wow. Oh my God. If we talk about this, literally the podcast will be rough. You know?
Yeah,
sure, yeah. It's good karma.
Which you can cut this whole part out too.
No, no, it's happening. We might as well.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't notice as like I lived in Venice for 15 years, 16 years. And I went back, you know, I've been Echo Park now for 3 and I went back and it was unrecognizable. Some street, just certain areas where it's like, you have to see that contrast.
Yeah.
Like in Venice, you mean?
Oh yeah.
Or, right. Cause it was kind of bad for a while, right? Am I wrong? Or
yeah, either. But, and now it's just worse.
Right.
And it's, you have to see it and compare it to the past. So yeah.
There's a guy who lives. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No,
but
I won't go ahead.
My neighborhood has been, and that's what I told John Daly on our last podcast. Is he and Steve Agee were talking about how bad it looked on the Bronson overpass, and I was like, actually, it's much better now than it has been the last few years. They are making an effort, and I've witnessed social workers going up to this one gentleman in particular who's right outside the Gelson's on Franklin, and he's been posted up there for 2 years, and you know, to his credit, he doesn't seem to cause problems. But they've offered him shelter and he's refused it every time because he doesn't want to live with a curfew.
Right.
Yep.
And that's the big problem is, you know, these people are people and you can't force someone if anyone has had any loved ones who needed rehab, you can't force someone to go to rehab, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and also sometimes it's, you know, my mom was a psychiatric nurse for years. And she used to rant constantly about when Reagan closed all the, basically all the social services in the 80s. And she basically said, this is what's going to happen because there are people in this world that need other people's help on a daily basis, hour to hour. And so if you close and end all services, all public services, it's not like nothing's going to happen. Like people have nowhere to go.
Right.
And they can't do just easy stuff by themselves. And it feels to me like a lot of times people talk about that in this kind of like, well, they're drug addicts and they're choosing to do it, where it's like, I bet you the majority have mental illness issues.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is like, they just need extra help. And they're just, it's like our government said, no.
For sure. And even if they're a drug addict, they still need help. You know,
right.
They're not in the right mind. They want to keep doing it, of course. But it's
so you're saying Reagan shouldn't be my favorite president in history?
No, I've told you that like 7 fucking times.
Well, what am I going to do with all these commemorative posters and campaign pins?
I'm going to take off my Reagan Bush 84 shirt.
Yeah, you better.
Reagan Bush 84. that I would wear that shirt just because it's like, hey, come on. It's a joke shirt. 84.
We love it, right?
Yeah, 84. Everything
it's
was
ironic.
Funny.
I'm an ironic Republican who is a Republican.
You're just a contrarian.
Yeah. I'm a libertarian.
You know, speaking of that, I used to have a Jesse the Body Ventura shirt that I would wear on 4th of July, ironically. Again, like in the aughts before everyone went crazy.
Yeah.
I had to stop that fun tradition.
Yeah.
Wait, for his campaign or his
Yeah, he wrestling? Was like running for something and it was his giant head with like an eagle and a flag and
didn't he become the governor of Wisconsin or the
Minnesota,
senator or something?
Yeah, somewhere
Minnesota, yeah.
And I think for like Minnesota. 2 seconds, everyone was like, wow, he's not as bad as me. Oh, no, he sucks.
Is that right?
Okay. But then here comes James Adomian with the impression and everything's fine again.
That's what makes it all worth it.
Yeah, James Adomian's impression, it's just as good as Jesse Ventura, I think. It's just it really is so deeply entertaining.
My dad was here visiting and I sat him down and made him watch because he goes, have you seen this guy doing the pillow guy on Jimmy Kimmel? I go, yes, it's James Adomian.
Yeah.
He's really talented. And I'm like, look at his Bernie Sanders. Look at look at his Andy Kindler. And I just kept making him watch James Adomian videos.
Or listen to the episode of our podcast where he not only is doing all those characters, he's somehow doing the Foley work to make it sound like he's climbing out of the car and getting on the roof. He was like muffling his own voice. And being Jesse Ventura trying to get into the car, pounding on the roof. And then when I listen to it, it's like, did he get out of the car? Because it sounds like he did. He's a master. Yeah, you should have him on your drive-in podcast.
Full commitment, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Is he New York or here?
He's here, yeah.
We got to get him, Daly.
You got to get him.
Yeah, we got to get a Domian. Hey, can you do that thing where you, like, muffle your voice or whatever? Listen to this podcast and do the thing that Chris talks about. Make it entertaining.
John Daly, when I first met you, you were, like, when I saw you first play saxophone at the Echo, I think it was the Downstairs Echo.
Right.
And I realized that you're legitimately a musician and entertainer. It was not, it's comedic, of course, but you're actually.
Thank you.
I don't know. I'm comparing it to when I was started making fun of white guy doing reggae. And then accidentally, I really started to enjoy singing like a reggae guy. And I'm like, oh, I'm actually feel like I'm getting good at this. And I actually started listening to Toots and the Maytals and brought out my old Marley. And I'm like, oh, it backfired.
Dude,
I actually really
been
like reggae.
Modest
now.
Yahoo.
I wondered if that happened for you with like, oh, I don't know, Careless Whisper or something.
Oh, well, I am a musician. I'm playing South by Southwest in 2 weeks, which is very exciting.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. And I have always played sax since I was in fourth grade.
That's what I didn't expect. That's not something you just pick up and jokingly play. I'm like, oh my God,
no.
you're a saxophone musician.
Yeah. And I did a video with Kenny G, which I don't really like, but it was very fun to meet him and to spend the day with him. Yeah. And I jammed with him. It was amazing. Both of us.
Oh, wow.
It was great. Yeah.
Did you guys ever hear John Daly's Red Hot Chili Peppers song?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That people were convinced was an actual Red Hot Chili Peppers song. Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And multiple outlets reported on it as if it was real. And like excoriating reviews of this, like, what are the Peppers doing?
Yeah.
Like another California song? Jesus. That's and it's so just funny. About streets and directions. And Yahoo Music wrote like a full like, all right, we're over the Peppers now. And then
they
screenshotted it, but they took it down.
That's they were embarrassed. Like there's another example. Like when you were young, were you like me? Were you really like the Red Hot Chili Peppers and sticker on the back of your car?
I couldn't have written that song without being a giant fan. I go way back and they were my favorite, one of my favorite. It was like, Peppers, Rage.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Peppers, Nirvana, Soundgarden, or
did
whatever.
Did you go to Woodstock 99?
I didn't go to Woodstock 99. No, I wish. I saw that documentary and...
Ooh, a lot of bad stuff happened, right?
Yeah, it's best you didn't. It's best you didn't go.
Yeah, they set everything on fire and it was terrible.
Not to mention all the mud.
And Moby was like, this mud... Moby in that documentary, he's like, ugh... There's mud all over my equipment.
But Moby, it's vegan
These
mud.
These people, it's vegan. Mud is vegan, Moby. It's just plants. Man. It's plants.
Yeah, no animals were harmed in this mud. I like the, is it that documentary or was it that concert where Billy Joe from Green Day gets hit right in the head with a bottle?
No
it's
way.
It's not funny.
Oh, really?
It's not funny. It's really shitty.
It's funny
but
the way you tell it.
The
yeah, you made it.
Aim.
Is that why you're laughing? Or,
I don't know why I'm laughing.
Because this is Karen. When something tragic happens, Karen's reaction is to laugh, and it's because she cares.
It's kind of my first reaction to every single thing, and that's how I slowly process what's happening, no matter what. But I kind of kill time by laughing.
Yeah,
but there it is. Like they're really jamming, and then just suddenly there's like a Heineken bottle that just goes boop. It's really fucked up.
Billy Joe got really hurt, and Karen's over here having the time of her life. Right?
Or there's the time Chris Novoselic from Nirvana threw his guitar in the air, and it hits him right on the heads. Oh, man.
Right. Video
to
musical.
Himself?
That was like 93.
Well, that's why his was funny. The guy from Green Day was kind of assaulted by someone.
He was a victim.
But if you... Or like, I don't care that I think they're on MTV or some, and he kind of sarcastically threw his guitar in the air, and then it, he just didn't catch it, and it hit the top of his head, and
he yeah, he had to go to the hospital.
He
really hurt himself.
Yeah, yeah, and that's why I'm smiling and talking about it, laughing.
And then
he
ran for governor of Washington State or something. He was a politician, Chris Novoselic.
Is that true?
Really?
Yeah, and you were like, it was like, oh wow, he's kind of like a Bernie, like freakazoid version of like, and then like nowadays he's like horrible.
He's a Trump apologist.
He,
yeah.
He just turned bad.
Oh wow,
like in a libertarian way, like kind of like, oh god, you're just a man with no country type of guy now.
Wow,
I just feel like it's that kind of. I think rock stars, it's a young man's game. And then if they continue and grow, their lives are so unrealistic and so spoiled that then they kind of have these, you know what I mean? It just keeps happening where it's like Eric Clapton is just kind of no immigrants. And you're just like, are you, you've been carried your entire life.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Morrissey.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, Morrissey's the big one.
Morrissey.
Johnny Rotten is fully just
Johnny Rotten,
conservative.
Really?
Like, yeah, he's like, I don't care. Like, he just like thinks it's more punk rock to hate, make fun of liberals, I guess.
Yeah, it's the new punk rock. Oh.
Yeah.
I don't like the new punk rock.
He's always just been like, fuck you. Bollocks to you.
Bollocks to you all.
Guys, do you think the Queen is on her way out? Do you think she's about to die?
Wait, was this a thing that a fake story was put out about that?
It went around on Twitter one day that she died, and then everyone had to go, no, that's not true.
Wow. Oh yeah, but recently she's been going like, you know, Camilla will be the Queen Regiment or whatever. She's got like the whole kind of her will coming out, like,
right?
Yeah,
and she also did that thing. There was a clip that, because she, well, first of all, she had COVID, and then there was a clip of her cutting a cake, and she insisted upon using the sword that she used to knight somebody to cut the cake, and they were kind of like, ha ha, no, don't do that. And she was like, I'm doing it. And she had a big smile on her face. Did you see that?
Whoa,
and I was like, she might be going a little organic in the brain.
Oh, man.
Must be very
naughty,
old.
Naughty.
She's really old.
I mean, she's been old since I was born.
Yeah,
yeah, she was old when I was born. It's amazing.
Yeah, she's. I actually thought there was like, it's been three different people because she's been old since my childhood.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Like,
yeah, they
Melania
just keep passing down the same pillbox hat.
I wonder if like Prince Harry's gonna go to her funeral. Is he invited or is he disinvited from everything because he abdicated?
I feel like if she dies, that's everything gets cleared, don't you think? On all
beefs.
The old,
yeah.
I would imagine, but like, who is in line? Camilla.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Camilla and Charles.
And Charles.
Interesting.
It's amazing how much art and television and movies with Spencer and the Crown is being. It's like almost like the people's revenge on these people that are so kind of like. Just like it must be so amazing to just be like, God, there were so many versions of us. Like, they have to look at that. Like, they have to watch it.
They must watch it in their little
Crown
weird TV room.
The Crown is totally amazing. Right. It's great.
I'm not like that,
so
am
good.
I?
Yeah. Yeah. Am I really
turning
like
to
that?
People?
Yeah.
Is that me?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking about it and I genuinely do not care, but it seems to be like a fun thing to talk about.
Right. I mean, you don't care if the Queen is dead. This is very
punk.
Hey, hey. My thing, well, thinking of Johnny Rotten, what I was thinking is, unlike any time before, it seems like in the last year, she started smiling a ton in pictures. And I feel like that's a sign that she should not be making public appearances anymore.
Happiness.
Like, you know, she was always very like proper and, you know, royal. But now she's always got like a little devious grin on her face. And it's like, no.
She's a little horny.
Like,
I'm a little horny. I'm horny now. I'm telling everyone. Okay, you're not going to be on the mic anymore.
You can't be at this. You can't be at this grocery store opening. Sorry.
Give me the keys. Give me the keys to the car you've never driven.
So has anything happened in your new car podcast that... aside from the guy at the bus stop, but anything, any big events, any almost accidents, anything that you've seen?
I mean, I've had to make some very, very courageous left turns
Yeah.
To avoid.
Yeah, that's got to get scary.
And courageous justifications. Yeah.
Once we saw a car that had a bullet hole in it, didn't we, John?
We did. And we saw a hot dog cart that said Jesus Hot Dog. It was called Jesus Hot Dogs.
It's true.
That was huge.
Apostrophe?
Yeah, no apostrophe. Yeah.
And then Steve Agee knew like all these Pulp Fiction locations. And so we drove past this Riverside Boulevard Pulp Fiction. It was where Bruce Willis kind of goes after he gets Zed's motorcycle.
He rides
away and he's at this place kind of near the Elysian, the new Elysian Theater on Riverside.
So, oh, yeah. I bet I could find that. I just that did that theater. Wow. Yeah, it's fun to, it's movies that I saw before I ever moved here. It's kind of fun to watch them and be like, wait, that's outside my house.
Yeah.
Denzel Washington was filming a movie outside my house?
Yes.
Yeah. All of Fast and the Furious is just like, downtown.
Training Day is my neighborhood. It's pretty fun to watch that.
Love it.
Pretty fun to talk about.
So yeah, we're really kind of hanging the whole thing on not making right turns.
Here's the thing. It's, you guys clearly didn't think through the fact that making a left in Los Angeles is the biggest pain in the ass. There kind of is.
It is.
Well, that's, right? That's why we're not being like easy on ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, and...
Okay.
And it adds a special kind of like having to pull out a little bit into the intersection, with which John very readily does. He's not one of these people that just stays at the white lines, which pisses me off so much.
Like,
you have
fine.
To go take it.
Yeah. When I had the 2009 Chevy Trailblazer, I was a little more okay. But now I got the brand new Toyota Sienna minivan. Come on.
Yeah.
Wait a second. Are you guys sponsored? Is that what you keep saying? Toyota Sienna minivan.
Oh God, we need that Toyota money. That would be huge. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Today we're in a. Then we're fully cars and then we're stealing equally from
you. Won't get a lemon at Toyota of Orange, Karen.
We tried for a while. Karen and I both had Hondas when we started.
Keys.
Keys on Van Nuys.
O'Reilly.
O'Reilly on a park.
Wow. Sorry. That is part of the song. I probably peaked. Was there a moment when you guys had to decide who was going to drive? We gradually realized that Karen was way better at driving and also being able to talk.
It was always tall John.
Yeah.
For me, it's always like, I think John Daly is going to be driving this podcast metaphorically, so I'll drive it literally.
Which is not true. I feel like we're both driving. You always surprise me with like, wow.
I try.
Yeah.
Keep it fresh.
When did you guys become pals? Did you work together on a show or something?
No, or like we met it just through Scott Aukerman or...
Yeah, definitely mutual friends.
Parties and stuff.
And I always knew of him, but honestly, it wasn't until the Red Hot Chili Peppers thing. I'm like, holy shit, this guy's hilarious. I've been taking him for granted this whole time. He's been right in front of my face. In 10 years, I'm going to do a podcast with him.
Wow, you predicted it that specific.
10 years from now, we'll be at a party and we'll come up with a podcast. Yeah.
Oh, regular size, John. I also really like your shot for shot.
Shot remake of the Rolling Stones Start Me Up video. But
What did you?
It's Cheer Me Up.
Put
it out at the beginning of pandemic and it's just Cheer Me Up. Yeah. Look at that. I love that. That's great.
Yeah.
If I do say so myself.
Yeah, you should. It does cheer me up to watch it. Yeah, it's great.
And that Rolling Stones video is great too. Go ahead.
Yeah. The original is good.
Yeah.
The remake is better.
Cocaine-y.
But I was going to say my favorite John Daly role, well, there's many, but in Zoolander 2, and I know I told you this.
Yeah,
because I went to Zoolander 2. I think it was some kind of preview or whatever, because there's lots of people that we knew that were in it. And I watched John Daly and I'm like, he is the best actor in this movie.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Because you were having to do a very specific thing and you did it really consistently. And every time you were on the screen, I liked watching what you, it was like engaging and good.
Yeah,
and not
this
to
is
say
a huge
there's
compliment.
A lot going on.
Thank you.
A lot going on in that movie. And it was fun to see our friends and lots of people, you know, whatever. but I just kept going like, man, John Daly really pulled it off in that one.
Yeah.
Was,
oh, that's so nice.
Really good.
Yeah. Yeah. You're saying I'm better at acting than Penelope Cruz. That's yes. really great. That's cool for
you
me.
You were upstaging yeah. her. You were chewing up the scenery behind her.
Yes.
She couldn't compete.
You yeah. needed to hear this too, because the you two have always been compared in the past. Yeah. Penelope.
Oh, I had to yeah. go out for the same parts.
Yeah, there was one year, like 3 years ago, I had a couple acting gigs, one on Tig's show and one on that corporate show. And you were, it was like within weeks of each other. And
I feel like that's
you
right.
and I
we
were
saw
like
each other
DJs
on Tig's,
together.
On Tig's show too. Yeah, yeah. That's awesome.
And then right
yeah.
after that on corporate.
Yeah, right? I love that.
Yeah, corporate. And you just, it seems like, because I just get nervous when I'm doing that kind of thing. I know how to hide it, but. You just look like you're having fun, and I think that's what translates as
well.
Just seems like you're having fun
sometimes.
While you're doing that.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks. But those were both fun, like jobs that my friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was like, friends. Hey, come over and do this. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was definitely like pretty loose.
Yeah. Super loose.
Zoolander, not so loose.
But, no, you couldn't be.
Just Penelope.
You were at the, you have in to be the in, center.
You got to bring your A game for Penelope.
You were, and, for Penelope.
And Stiller,
were
obviously.
You spies or like?
We were the fashion
to be.
The fashion police.
Of course. Yeah. My
Zoolander. Yeah.
My apologies.
Chris, did you ever live with Tig?
Yeah, for a long time. Long enough to almost get recognized by the state for tax purposes.
Oh, wow.
7 years.
That's
Is
what
that
I
in
thought.
Venice?
Yeah.
And what about David Huntsberger? Did he live in that house too?
Yeah, our second house together, David moved in. I just hung out with him the other day. Yeah, I've had really good friends that I used to live with. But,
well, if I see you on the street, I know that you're Chris Fairbanks, and same with him, he's David Huntsberger.
Yes.
But I can never keep straight which one of you I went on that blimp ride with, and it was him.
I've never been on a blimp. I fear them because, you know, they catch on fire and stuff, or they have a history of it.
You were in a blimp? What?
Yeah, what's this blimp thing?
Come on.
Well, the blimp thing is Doug Benson, who I owe my career to, just randomly tweeted something about the Goodyear blimp once. And they tweeted back to him and said, hey, you want to take a ride? Bring 7 friends or whatever. And I was one of them. And it was fantastic. It's amazing how when the blimp takes off, I would imagine it would be a little more gradual. You're going up like at a 90 degree angle. And it's so weird.
And really?
Wow, it's so fun. Yeah, it was a good time.
What did you fly over?
We flew over like the Queen Mary, because the Goodyear airport, for lack of a better word, is down that way.
Oh, it was the Goodyear blimp.
Oh, it was the Goodyear blimp.
Boy, I've never, that's like going to the Playboy Mansion.
It
you
really
get the invite?
In the sky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's girls
Except
on there.
More perverted.
Yeah. Because so anyway, it looks like a big old dong.
You guys got some juice. Yeah. Just tweet about the Goodyear blimp and get a free ride.
Really?
Yeah, okay.
I should, yeah.
It is how I've gotten my Delta flights changed. Twitter's powerful.
Twitter, really I have done, it used to be, maybe it's not anymore. It feels very like scaled down or something. They won't let everyone see your stuff, but definitely I've gotten hotels, discounts, upgrades.
Not even on purpose.
Flights rescheduled.
Yeah.
It's from
just
complaining.
A byproduct. Yeah, of like complaining about something, and then it's embarrassing because they're like, oh, we'll fix that for you. Thank you very much. I'm going to delete this tweet now where he's complaining about it.
Also, then you're kind of publicly known as like, yeah, I'm standing here and this, my bag isn't here.
Yeah.
And then, you know, sometimes that's like, sometimes no one notices, but then like, I think in this day and age, I would say since 2016, you see a lot less like airport complaining on Twitter. It's just like no one gives a shit anymore.
I don't even see complaining in airports lately. It's just everyone, airports have been quite pleasant.
Everyone's understaffed though, or like cut back all their like support staff, including hotels. When I was just driving across the country, speaking of driving, in hotels now, they don't have, that your room isn't automatically cleaned, or at least these hotels I was
just
like on the road hotels.
I always forget to hang that sign up, and then they barge in right when I'm bending over in front of my mirror.
I don't mind it, but I think the thing is if you is to request it and tip that person because they're getting less tips or something.
Oh, right.
Request the cleaning, maybe. Unless
you have to. It's
absolutely
like
don't want it.
You're
which
right.
Sometimes I don't. Yeah.
You're right. I have
I'm
noticed.
Like, don't
now
find my weed, man.
Yeah. Oh, man. My stash that I bring with me on airplanes. I have noticed that all hotels now have that little envelope like, hey, you have a little for the cleaning staff? And even if they don't clean my room, it seems, but I'm like, here.
Oh, yeah.
They'll eventually be in here.
Imagine
just because I don't need.
They must see.
Yeah.
I wait until they come. I wait until they come to the room and give it to their face.
You know what, like, hey, they need to start doing?
You fold it up.
Yeah.
Put some gravy on it. Stick it to their
leg. Put it to their leg.
Yeah. Here's a little gravy for you.
Literally. Whap.
They need to just stop giving you 4 dozen towels. If they give you one towel, you're going to have to, you know. I've just figured out the hotel problem. If you're out there listening, Hilton family, one towel.
Scrimp on the towels.
Yeah, and then people got to have the room changed over.
I'm dog friendly. You got to be dog friendly. So it is Hilton Garden and then Hampton Inn.
Yeah.
And yeah, you got to be dog.
Dog friendly. My dog
don't,
also
don't
smokes.
Like dogs. Yeah. My dog smokes.
Yeah.
People love dogs.
Yeah. Oh, look at that one.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a nice couch, too.
Yeah. Thank you.
Great couch. Great dog.
Guys, nice. He got everything.
The dog came with the couch.
It's cozy as hell.
She was shoved in between the cushions. All right. Well, guys, do you have anything else you want to plug or discuss?
Yeah.
Because this hour has gone by so insanely fast. It's kind of funny.
Yeah. Tall John, you're still working on Big Burgers? Big Bob's
I'm working
Burgers?
On Big Burger.
Yeah.
I'm working on Bob's
a show
Big Boy.
That everyone loves?
Yes. I'll never leave there. They'll have to fire me.
Why would you?
John
why
Daly,
the greatest.
What are you working on lately?
I'm putting out an album in the summer in June and, of music, and I'm going to go on tour and do a big show in LA. And then I am, doing South by Southwest 2 weeks from now. Come to that if you're in Austin. I've got a new podcast called, I got two podcasts. One's called Two Johns Don't Make a Right, which we've talked about.
Sure, sure.
And the other one's called Deliberately Wasting Your Time, and it's a podcast reviews. So, check that out.
Oh, that's great.
Just review other people's podcasts.
I love that idea. Yeah. Wow.
Is it just you by yourself?
It's fun. Please be on it, both of you, by the way.
Yeah. You have guests on that.
It's me by myself and a guest, and we listen to obscure and strange podcasts. And then
that's
sometimes
great.
Just Joe Rogan or whatever, and
go
through it.
Sure.
And it's a little bit like Mystery Science Theater kind of thing.
That sounds
fun.
That's a funny idea. I just love
that's
it.
Really funny.
Yeah, holding
thanks.
A mirror up
way
to
better
the...
than our idea.
Yeah. And then
no, I do
Two
not
Johns.
Say...
And right just... now we're releasing Two Johns on that stream. So if you go to that stream of Deliberately Wasting Your Time, you'll see Two Johns. We're gonna eventually we gotta get our own thing, but just for kind of the you know, the purposes of just putting
also,
stuff
like,
out.
That could be a good audience. Title for sure. ours too.
Yeah.
Deliberately wasting your time. Well, thank you for having us. I'm going to help you wrap this up.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Thank you. Yeah.
You're great. Wonderful hosts.
And so happy to see you both.
I know.
It's almost like we hung
out.
And I haven't been crying. Social. My allergies have been going crazy, so I've been dabbing my eye, but I'm not crying.
Oh, good. I hate being that funny. You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? DYN. AR! This has been an Exactly Right production.
Produced by Casey O'Brien. Mixed by Ryo Baum.
Theme song by Karen Kilgareth.
Artwork by Chris Fairbanks.
Follow the show on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Dynar Podcast. That's DYNAR Podcast.
For more information, go to exactlyrightmedia.com.
Listen, subscribe, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you.
Oh, and you're welcome.